Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You're barking up the wrong tree. What kind of thoughts that would have you thinking? Or if I said you're fishing in the wrong pond? What about if I said you're throwing darts in the dark? I don't know where your thoughts travel to there, but if you hear these things, I'm hoping that you can see that these are all examples of searching for things in the wrong place. And at times, though, we're not the best of searchers. I wonder, for those of you that wear glasses, if you've ever been hunting high and low for your glasses, only to find that they're perched on top of your head. Or you frantically search for your mobile when you're on the phone speaking to someone at that time. And for those that are laughing and nodding, I am there with you. I was in the supermarket a few weeks ago. I was following a list of ingredients on my phone. My watch buzzed to tell me I had a message, and I immediately did the check. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? My phone was in my hand all along. In reality, though, people often search for things in all the wrong places. People search for happiness. They look to material possessions, but just fleeting pleasures, they're never going to find it in these things. People search for love and connection, but they search in unhealthy relationships or expecting fulfillment from others who aren't emotionally available or ready for commitment. They search for purpose and fulfillment. They look in their careers. We look at social status, but still unable to find it. We search for self-worth, searching for validation through social media likes, comparison to others, or maybe just seeking acceptance. We look to others for approval, or we look to social circles, or we look online and look at what everybody else is doing, and we seek to be accepted in those environments and never feel like we truly are. And being honest, I would admit to falling into some of these things at different times in my life. And it may be possible that you can relate to some of these things as well. But there's one other area that I want to mention this morning. And I believe this is true of society, whether you're of faith or if you have no faith at all. We pursue peace in all kinds of things that do not give it. We dig into our past. We dwell on things that have happened, our past mistakes. Stephen's already mentioned that this morning. We look at unresolved issues, but what happens is, instead of feeling at peace about it, it stirs up emotional turmoil within us. We look to material wealth. If I can just accumulate enough wealth or enough possessions, then when that happens, I can be at peace. And we might get some short-term pleasure from that, but it doesn't address the deeper emotional or spiritual needs that we have. We look to perfectionism, striving for perfection in every area of life, and then wondering why we're feeling uneasy on the inside. It could be escapism, turning to distractions, exercise, drinking, overeating, binge-watching Netflix, whatever it is, but we never seem to be at peace. It could be comparison, busyness, people-pleasing, judging others, blaming others. The list goes on and on and on. We pursue peace in all kinds of things that do not give it. And it's possible that some people here today can relate to this issue, seeking peace but searching in all the wrong places. I want to encourage you this morning to consider this. True peace can only be found in God through a relationship with Jesus. If you truly seek peace, then you must truly seek Jesus. And that's what I want to unpack today. We're now in our Advent sermon series called The Songs of Christmas. In this series, we'll explore the powerful and the prophetic songs found in the Gospel of Luke, expressions of joy, of hope, and of praise that surround the birth of Jesus. From Mary's Magnificat to Simeon's Song of Hope, these ancient hymns invite us to reflect on the significance of Christ's arrival and the transformation that he brings to our world. As we listen to the songs that celebrated the Saviour's birth, we hope you uncover the everlasting message in your life today. Last week, Stephen looked at Zechariah's song, a song of faith named Benedictus, a song of thanksgiving, and he encouraged us to consider that even in the silence, God is at work. Today, I'm going to unpack the angel's song, a song that points to Jesus. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, a peace that surpasses our understanding. Now the text from today, we've already had a glimpse at it when Diane led communion. It's in Luke 2, and I'm going to read from verse 8 through to 20. If you want to follow on with that, then you can do that now. So Luke 2, and I'm reading from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a wonderful picture in the text of God speaking his message of hope through the announcement of the birth of his son Jesus, and the message of peace for those who believe and respond. And this morning I have three if statements. I want to explore these and unpack these as we look at the angel's song of peace and the story around it. So the first if statement this morning is this: if you think you're too far, too low, or too forgotten for God, then think again. Again, this ties with what Stephen was sharing in praise and prayer. If you think you're too far, too low, or too forgotten for God, then think again. See, by sending angels to the shepherds, God made it clear that the good news of Jesus is for everyone. See, the shepherds were men who herded livestock. They did that for a living, and they were seen to be at the very bottom of the social structure. And I guess in society today, if we know people and they use poor or bad language all the time, if they swear a lot, you might hear someone say they swear like a trooper or they curse like a sailor. Well, in these days, there would be a saying that says, "He lies like a shepherd." That's the kind of reputation that they would have. And rightly or wrongly, whether it's fair or not, the shepherds were not highly regarded at all. As one writer puts it, shepherds tended to be socially inept, hygienically challenged, and culturally reviled. See, the work of a shepherd was dirty, and the work of a shepherd was dangerous. They were out in the wilds, exposed to all the elements in all the seasons. It's likely that those who became shepherds would have limited employment options. Now, there's reasons why this is important. It's important because the angels did not go looking for the people of power and influence to share the wonderful message of Christ's birth. They didn't appear to those with money or to the leaders of the political or the religious world. They came to the least significant, the least respected, and the least likely people on the planet, to the lowest of the low. And in doing so, the angel said that he came to bring good news to all people. And he demonstrates this by starting at the very bottom, to those on the margins, to those who are outcasts, to those with no power, no influence, or no social standing. And it's unlikely that any shepherd would have seen themselves as significant or worthy of any divine attention. Yet it was to them in their darkness that the angels delivered the message of glory and peace. It's amazing that God's message of hope often emerges in the least significant, like the shepherds, but also to you and to me. When writing about this, Craig Satterley notes that God's choice to send angels to shepherds speaks more to more than just reaching outsiders. He writes this: when we've been shunned, disappointed, or overwhelmed by grief, we stop caring about being outsiders. We give up on religion, we even give up on God. But God doesn't give up on us. God sends angels to those who have given up on him. Although initially the shepherds were terrified, the true message was one of peace, vulnerability, and a savior who dwells among the lowly and those who feel forgotten. This message extends to me and it extends to you this morning. And I guess this would be a good place just to pause, to stop and consider that regardless of who you are, regardless of what you've done, God's message is relevant for you. You're not so far gone that God is not interested in you. If you feel forgotten, outcast, or you're living on the margins, know this, that God loves you and God is for you. See, at this very moment, there are many living in the fields of their lives, lost, overwhelmed by grief, struggling with hardship, illness, poverty, or brokenness. Some feel abandoned by the world and distant from God, unable to celebrate because they can't sense his love. But the good news is that God has not abandoned any of them or any of us. Even now, God sends his message of great joy, like angels bringing a song of peace that surpasses understanding, offering hope beyond our struggles. The birth of Jesus, the Messiah, changes everything. Just as the shepherds rejoiced at the heavenly song, we too have reason to celebrate. God will not rest until each of us are embraced by his infinite love. God is with us now and forever in Jesus, our Emmanuel. The announcement that Jesus was born, that the Messiah, the Lord, has stepped out of eternity and was now here on earth, fulfilled the prophecy about his coming from Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." The angel's message to the shepherds is just as relevant today. God's message reaches those struggling or feeling distant from him. The birth of Jesus reminds us that God has not abandoned us. His love and presence bring light to our darkness and offers a peace that surpasses understanding. So if you think you're too far, too low, or too forgotten for God, you need to think again. The second if statement this morning is this: if you want to experience a peace that transforms, you need to choose the peace that transcends. See, we see in verse 13 and 14 that the angel was joined by a great company of the heavenly host. And right there in verse 14, we hear the angel's song. The song is known as Gloria, from Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which is from the Latin text for glory to God in the highest. Now, there is a full line of Latin text, but we'll just leave it at Gloria in Excelsis Deo for this morning. But the angel song declaring Gloria in Excelsis Deo marks the advent of the long-awaited Saviour. It's a proclamation of divine glory, of heavenly peace, and of God's loving goodwill toward all people. This moment signifies the arrival of Jesus, who brings ultimate peace with God. Jesus brings reconciliation for us. It's an invitation to experience God's love and favor. The angel's message is everlasting. It's not just hope for the moment, but a peace that transforms lives and lasts for eternity. I mentioned at the start that we find it difficult at times to find true peace because we search for it in all the wrong places. And I want to take a moment just to consider the peace that Jesus brings. See, Jesus offers us a peace that is different from the world's peace, one that calms our hearts despite external circumstances. In John 14:27, we read, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, sometimes when people are asked, if you could have anything in the world at all, what would you choose? And they say, world peace. And it sounds good. And it sounds like the right thing to say. And it sounds like if the world could at peace, then that would be great. The issue, though, is that world peace is fragile. It's circumstantial. It's just on a surface level. And it can be disrupted by one bit of conflict and the peace is gone. The other issue with world peace is that it doesn't address issues like the separation we see spiritually between ourselves and God. See, the peace of God that he offers through Jesus is deep, it's lasting, it's transformative. The peace of God provides security, it provides rest and reconciliation with him, and it endures through all circumstances. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. In John 16:33, we read, "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, Jesus acknowledges that we will face troubles in life, but he offers peace in the midst of it because he has overcome the world and he provides victory over the forces that trouble us. The angel sang a song of peace that surpasses understanding. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And this speaks directly of the peace that surpasses human comprehension. God's peace found in Christ, which guards and protects our hearts and minds, especially in times of anxiety or when we're faced with adversity. But in Jesus, we have the ultimate peace. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through faith in Jesus, we're justified and made right with God. Experience the peace that comes from being reconciled to him. And I've heard it said that if Jesus doesn't calm the storm around us, he will calm the storm within us. Which speaks to how we react to real life situations. It's how we react when relationships break down. It's how we react when we go to the doctor and we get a negative health diagnosis. Or we're involved in a road accident where our car is totaled. If Jesus doesn't calm the storm around us, he will calm the storm within us. When we have the peace of God, we can face situations like all of these with calmness and a certainty that God is with us and he is in control. Now, I've noticed over the last few months that people like an old song at a Found Church. And I'm going to go there today. So hymn writer Horatio Spafford epitomized what it is to experience the peace of God, despite and in the midst of profound human tragedy. See, he was a wealthy Christian businessman whose son died at age 4. He lost property and finance due to the Great Chicago Fire. He decided to take some time out to recover from that, and he, his wife, and 4 daughters set sail for Europe to support Evangelist D.L. Moody, who was there doing a tour at the time. And just as they were about to go, a business emergency came up, and Horatia stays in Chicago whilst the others go ahead. Tragically, the ship struck another and it sank, and only his wife Anna survived. When he heard of this, he immediately set sail for Wales to bring his wife home. During that crossing, he sailed over the spot where the tragedy took place. He penned these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." See, the peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that he is there with you always. So when relationships are breaking down, whatever my lot, it is well, it is well with my soul. When we get a negative health diagnosis, whatever my lot, it is well, it is well with my soul. That's the peace that surpasses understanding. That's the peace that makes no sense. The kind of peace that transcends our comprehension and brings about transformation. My final if statement this morning is this: if you are not at peace with God, you can't experience the peace from God. See, the shepherds faced a personal choice about what to do with Jesus. And I guess they had 3 options. They could completely reject what the angel's message was, but given what they had just witnessed, that was going to be unlikely. They could have believed the angels and done nothing and just returned to the field and looked after their sheep. But instead, they chose to believe. They chose to act on it. They immediately seek out Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. They accepted the gift from God. And similarly, we all must make a personal decision about what to do with Jesus. Whether God receives the glory he deserves or whether we experience the peace he offers depends on our response. Like the shepherds, we too have 3 choices. We can reject the idea of God humbling himself to come as a baby to die for our sins. And many people do this. Celebrating Christmas with decorations, the trees, gifts, traditions, but without believing that God's gift has any real impact on their lives. Or we can acknowledge the facts of Christmas without allowing the wonder of the incarnation to change our lives. Many people in our country, across the country, fall into this category. They believe the Christmas story. They may set up a nativity scene or something along those lines. They might even read the Bible's account of the birth of Jesus, but they don't let it transform how they live. Alternatively, we can choose to not only believe in the incarnation, but to commit to Jesus as both Lord and Saviour. In response to his love, we live lives of gratitude and obedience. This is the only choice that brings God the glory he deserves and ushers in true peace on earth. And I guess when we look at society today, because so few make this choice, our world lacks both God's glory and lasting peace. The band can come back just now, thank you. At the start of today's message, I said that I had 3 if statements to consider. If you think you're too far, too low, or too forgotten for God, then think again. If you want to experience the peace that transforms, you need to choose the peace that transcends. If you're not at peace with God, you can't experience the peace from God. See, this morning we've explored the angel song, Gloria. We've unpacked how the peace of God is radically different to the peace that the world seeks. I mentioned before that the world's peace often depends on circumstances. Whether it's the absence of conflict, whether it's personal success, or material security. This peace is fleeting, it's fragile, and it's based on external things. External things that are constantly changing. In contrast, the peace of God transcends all circumstances. The peace of God is a deep, unshakable peace that comes from knowing and trusting in God's presence, even in the midst of life's struggles. It's a peace that isn't dependent on external conditions, but is rooted in a relationship with God. See, God offers rest for our souls. God offers us comfort in our sorrow, and he offers us strength in our trials. In John 14:27, I read earlier, as Jesus said, "My peace I give you, I do not give as the world gives." This peace that surpasses understanding, bringing wholeness and calm even when the world around us is in turmoil. So I guess you can consider the three ifs for yourself this morning. But I want to ask a question. In all that I've shared with you today, what will you do with Jesus? What is your response to the birth of Jesus? What is your response to God's plan to be reconciled to him? We can reject it. We can acknowledge it. Or we can believe it and we commit ourselves to him. I want to give people an opportunity to do just that this morning. See, we need to make a choice. I've said already, we can't just know that Jesus is here. We can't know that Jesus was born, that Jesus then goes and dies on the cross to pay for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that we can be reconciled into the relationship with God the Father, that we can experience a peace through Jesus that transcends and surpasses all understanding. Stephen said at the start of the service today, we don't know where everyone comes to when they get to a Sunday morning, what's going on in your life, what's going on in your world. But I'd suggest this morning, if you need that peace of Jesus, then you make a choice here to believe and to commit to him.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.